To the people of Texas and all Americans in the world, fellow citizens and compatriots, I shall never surrender or retreat. Then I call on you in the name of liberty, of patriotism, and everything dear to the American character to come to our aid with all dispatch.
Those words still carry the fire of the moment they were written. They came from a ruined mission church in San Antonio, from a man just 26 years old.
Welcome to the Masonic History feature from Johnson City Lodge number 561. I'm Brother Orator, and with me is Brother Archivist.
It's my job to guard the record, check the sources, and be clear about what we know for certain and what remains tradition.
And I help turn that careful record toward meaning, context, and memorable Masonic education. This Masonic historian agent was built by Dr. William Fisher, a Master Mason and proud member of Johnson City Lodge No. 561, to help share careful, engaging knowledge about Masonic history.
Our goal is simple: to help brethren, prospects, and anyone interested in Texas history learn about our past with curiosity, care, and source humility. You can learn more at johnsoncitylodge561.org or send questions and source leads to jclodge561@gmail.com.
This week, we're looking at the life of the man who wrote that famous letter, the young Colonel William Barrett Travis.
And even his story begins with a detail that requires a historian's care, his birthday. Many older sources say August 1, 1809, but the Travis Family Bible, the best attested source according to the Handbook of Texas, records his birth on August 9th.
So by his family's own book, this week holds the birthday of William Barrett Travis, born in South Carolina, but his story really takes shape in Alabama.
That's right. In 1818, his family moved to Conecuh County, Alabama, and there, as a teenager in the town of Claiborne, Travis began to build a public life with incredible speed.
It's a remarkable list, isn't it? Before he was 21, he was a lawyer, a school teacher, a newspaper editor, a militia adjutant, a husband, and a father.
And a Freemason. He was initiated in Alabama Lodge No. 3 in Claiborne. The records there are firm. He was a Master Mason before his 22nd birthday.
I think that's a crucial point. On a raw frontier, a young man with no great fortune was building a life out of institutions, the law, the press, the militia, and the lodge. Each was a promise of order, of learning, of mutual obligation in a new country.
And in Claiborne, Freemasonry had a very real house. The hall for Alabama Lodge No. 3 was built in 1824. The lodge met upstairs in a beautiful barrel-vaulted room, with an arch over the master station bearing the letter G. Downstairs, that same building served as a courtroom and a church. It was the heart of the town's civic life.
It was even the place where the town received the Marquis de Lafayette during his grand American tour in 1825. For a young man like Travis, joining that lodge meant taking a seat in the most established institution in town.
But the life he assembled so quickly also came apart. By 1831, he was deep in debt, his marriage was failing, and he left for Texas. He arrived alone, technically as an illegal immigrant under the law of April 6, 1830.
He was 21 years old and starting over, but he used the same tools, his law books, and a commitment to public duty. And in Texas, that path led him directly into the conflict with the Mexican government.
His arrest in Anahuac in 1832 was one of the sparks that ignited the Texas Revolution. He stood with the war party, led men to expel the Anahuac garrison in 1835, and by January 1836, he was a lieutenant colonel riding to San Antonio to reinforce the garrison at the Alamo.
And when his commander, James Neal, took a leave of absence, command fell to him. Just days later, Santa Anna's army arrived, and the siege began.
On the second day, February 24th, he wrote the letter. He answered the demand for surrender with a cannon shot and declared, "Our flag still waves proudly from the walls. I shall never surrender or retreat." He signed it, "Victory or Death."
The letter made it out, carried through the enemy lines. It did its work, rallying support across Texas and the United States, but help couldn't arrive in time. Travis died early in the final assault, on March 6th, felled by a single shot.
That original letter survived. It was returned to his family, and in 1893, a great-grandson sold it to the state of Texas for $85. It's now preserved by the state archives, just blocks from the Capitol in Austin.
And it rests in Travis County, named in his honor by the Congress of the Republic of Texas in 1840.
Texas Masonry has kept his memory as well. He is counted among the brethren who died at the Alamo, alongside others like James Bowie of a Louisiana lodge and James Bonham from South Carolina.
And we should be careful here, for some of those men like David Crockett,
the Masonic affiliation is a strong tradition, but the specific lodge record is lost. For Travis, however, the record from Alabama Lodge No. 3 is solid.
The fraternity's response to that loss was characteristic. It went back to work. A decade after the battle, in 1848, San Antonio Masons organized Alamo Lodge No. 44, meeting within the very walls of the old mission. That lodge works continuously to this day.
Taking up labor in the very rooms where labor had ended. That's a powerful statement. And for us here in Johnson City, the story feels very close. We're in Blanco County, right next door to Travis County.
Any Mason from our lodge driving to the Grand Lodge in Waco, or the Capitol in Austin, passes through a county named for a brother who took his obligations in a frontier lodge room before he was even 22.
And that might be the most important part of this story for us to keep. The world remembers the heroic rhetoric of victory or death, but a lodge remembers the obligation that came first. It remembers a young man who bound himself, freely and in advance, to be answerable for others.
When he wrote that he would never forget what was due to his own honor and that of his country, he was fulfilling a promise he had already made at a Masonic altar. He was living up to his obligations.
He addressed that promise to the people of Texas and all Americans in the world. We are still among its addressees. The lesson of William Barrett Travis is a lesson in duty, undertaken young and kept at the highest possible cost.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Masonic History feature. We hope you'll join us again next week. Until then, from all of us at Johnson City Lodge No. 561, travel safe.